Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk listeners, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping everyone is having a great evening. Is Miss Dangerous Lee out there?
Yes, this is I.
You guys, tonight we will be interviewing or discussing the book called Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirts Down with Miss Dangerous Lee. How are you tonight, ma'am?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
All right, all right. So, let's see how I want to start this out because you off the chain. I was watching your videos. You had a discussion with someone with three people. Well, it was four of you guys all together. I think it was four or five of you guys. Mm-hmm. And you are just like straight to the point. I mean, hey.
Yeah, that's my claim to fame. I don't beat around the bush.
I love that, and I love what you're doing. You're from Burton, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that near?
Well, it's, you know what, it's Flint, Michigan. Yeah, I'm from Flint, but I live in Burton, and really that's just, you know, the next city over.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, believe it or not, I used to live in Saginaw. I just came back from Lansing. My sister lives in Lansing, and I was hanging. We went to New York together, and we were hanging out. And, yeah, I know all about Michigan.
All right, cool. So we were probably breathing the same air. That's cool.
Exactly. Okay, I'm seeing on here where you said African Americans have the highest HIV infection rates in the United States right now.
Yes, absolutely. If you put a face on HIV, it would be African American, and more than likely an African American woman.
Uh huh. Okay. Did hear something like that the African American woman has made those numbers go real high. Do you know why?
I think between the ages of like 25 to 34.
Uh-huh.
I think I might be off because there's so many numbers that I deal with. When it comes to HIV and the statistics that I get mixed up. But, yes, young African-American women. And you know what? There's many different reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, some of the times our partners, you know, if it's a heterosexual, well, if we think it's a heterosexual male, he may also be sleeping with men. So that's part of the problem, too. But for the most part, it's really just, you know, people are not using protection. People are not, you know, taking the proper risk reduction steps to, you know, prevent themselves from getting HIV or other STDs. I mean, even if you don't like to use condoms, there's this thing called pulling out. That reduces your risk as well. And, you know, not everybody practices that either, so.
Okay.
But, I mean, for African Americans in general, just, you know, a lot of the reasons why we have the highest rates would have to do with lack of health care, lack of education about the disease, certain stigmas that we hold in our community about HIV, you know, that it's a gay disease, that type of thing. And it also has to deal with the mistrust of the health care as a whole, you know, because sometimes doctors don't always have our best interest at heart. You know, they'll treat us differently based on what type of insurance we have or just based on the color of our skin. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. It's not really that we're having sex more than any other group of people or anything like that. You know, it has a lot to do with stigma and lack of education and just poverty and health care, that type of thing. And then next in line are Latinos. So,
yes.
You know, people of color are most at risk.
Okay. Despite all the information that is given out, seminars that are being done, health care units are trying, I mean, community centers and health communities, I think what they're called. Community health centers, I'm sorry.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, you know, they're doing, you know, what they can. I know I used to work in the health clinic here, and we used to have condoms right there on the countertop.
Uh-huh.
And you see the same people coming in being treated for STDs. When they leave out
wow.
of here, with, you know, with purses full of condoms. So, I mean.
Does it make sense?
It don't. It's not equaling out. It's not adding up. No, I mean, and we women, you know, we have this thing about we got to feel the real thing. We
mm-hmm.
need to, sometimes the real thing ain't what you want to feel at times. You know what I'm
right.
saying? When,
right.
when we're making these dangerous decisions with our bodies. Okay.
But that's
interesting
that you say the same people who come in to get the condoms are the same ones coming in to be treated for STDs. That is crazy. So I'm thinking that either they're not using the condom or they're using them incorrectly.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it. Or, you know, because God convinced you, no, man, it ain't the same. Come on, baby. Just, no, you don't have to put that on. Come on, baby. We don't have to wear that.
Oh, yeah.
We so easy to, okay, not only just us, okay?
Right. You got that right. Yeah, this is ridiculous. And then the thing about it is that STDs are totally preventable if you just take the proper steps. But people act like it's going to cramp their style to pull
yeah,
out a
yeah.
condom, you know.
Yeah, that is so true.
Please.
Okay, to all my listeners, if you want to talk or ask questions to Ms. Lee, you can call in at 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. Okay, now, I have a question to ask you. I love your website. It's straight to the point, and I love it. I love your website. Okay, you said, it's a question
say
I need.
Say that again, because my phone is tripping me out right now.
Saying how much I love your website.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I love how you got it set up. It's easy to read. It's not complicated. And you don't have a lot of stuff on it. You get straight to the point. I like that. Now, you tell me this. How did you come up with the name of your book? What inspired you?
Well, the name of the book comes from something my grandmother used to say to me and my other female cousins when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was just ridiculous to me because I'm like, I don't remember how old I was, but I know sex was the farthest thing from my mind. But, I mean, I guess that's kind of what we need to do is kind of put those ideas into our children's minds before they even think about having sex because it was always there, you know, keep your panties up and your skirt down. And I knew what she meant by that, basically, have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're going to have sex, you need to be responsible. You need to be adult enough. Because if you're not ready for it, then you definitely do, as a woman, need to keep your panties up and your skirt down. But I want the fellas to think I'm leaving them out of the mix because it refers to y'all, too. You know, zip your pants up, whatever. But, yeah, my grandmother inspired the title, and the book is dedicated to her.
Oh, okay. I saw a picture of her. She was a beautiful lady.
Oh, yes, my grandma was a little sassy thing.
Now, why did you write this book? What made you want to do this?
Well, let's see. I started on the book before I worked in HIV prevention, you know, because I watched a special, I think it was an ABC News special, where they talked about, I think it was called AIDS in Black America. And, you know, we always hear about AIDS in Africa.
Yeah.
And I watched that special, and it really helped me to understand how black people are affected by HIV in the United States. And I'm a black woman, so that's my people, and I love my people. So, you know, that got me into HIV prevention. I started volunteering, and shortly afterwards, I began working in HIV prevention. So a lot of what I learned before and during my work in HIV prevention inspired the book, but I just felt like it needed to be done, you know, because so many of us are into black erotica. Like, it's really, really popular right now. You know, I enjoy it, too, you know. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it, too. I'm a big fan of erotica. But I figured put a spin on it. You know, keep it sexy and about sex, but put some education in there at the same time.
Yes, it's very much sexy. Because when I was, like, and I think I told you that. I left a comment. I was like, golly, this make me blush the way she wrote. You got
Yeah, somebody told me the other day they had just started to read the first chapter, because you can read the first chapter for free on the website, and they were telling me they got halfway through and they was getting all hot and bothered. So I'm like, yeah, good.
Because you put it down. You definitely put it down. Now,
yeah, I had to. It was a challenge because the book is dealing with two things that are very taboo, sex and HIV, two taboo topics. And, you know, I'm happy that you are willing to talk about it on your show, because I've been turned down to be on certain shows because they don't want to talk about the topic, you know.
Oh,
so.
Well, honey, you came to the right, because I don't, I'm not going to turn anybody down. I love talking about everything. That's just how I am. And anybody who knows, tell you I like to talk about anything.
mm-hmm.
Okay, what was your target audience when you came to the point that you know, okay, I'm going to write this, who am I gearing this all to?
I'm gearing it to anybody having sex, and that goes from 13 on up, because the highest new HIV rates, the age group is 13 to 24. So even though the book is risque, it's erotic, it's sexual, if you're 13 and having sex, you can read my book, because it's not just sex for the sake of being, you know, sexy or the sake of trying to get somebody hot and bothered. There's education there. And I know that kids are going to sneak and read it, because they sneak and read all that other erotica, the Zane and all that stuff. So everybody that's having sex, and really, before you start, it's good to read. So, you know, we need to be more open about this type of stuff. So, yeah, I want everybody to read it.
That was a great idea, because it just kicked in my mind what you said about a 13-year-old reading it, because mm-hmm. they read it, they know that if you do it, you can do it safely.
I mean, exactly.
We're not condoning. I don't want anybody to get the impression that we're condoning our teenagers and our young adults out there to have sex freely. We're saying
they're doing it anyway. Yeah.
Doing it anyway, so why not make it safe? You know what I'm saying? Why not promote safe sex? Since it's
right.
safe, you said. It seems everybody wants to run away from it. Sex is
they
sex.
Do.
And sex is a natural thing to happen.
Right.
But it's also a dangerous thing to happen if you're not careful, if you don't. And that's what happens. That's how we have the baby rate is high, and that's why we have all the STDs and HIV is out there. It's because we're too afraid to talk to it about our kids, and damned if anybody else talk to it about our kids. Oh, my God, they ready to sue you. If somebody else, I mean, you're almost in the catch-22 in your business, in your industry, in your job. It's like almost like a catch-22, because you're there to make sure it don't happen, and you find any ways necessary to get it out to them, and you got parents who don't want your kids to listen to it. You know, don't
right.
tweet.
Because they're afraid that their kids are going to start having sex when, in fact, they already are. And the thing about it is, if you really think about it, you can use my book as a scare tactic.
Look, when they read
you know?
It, you know, back in the day when you used to read your book to your kids, read it to them, see what happens.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, and see, the thing is that's funny, because this book will probably turn you on and turn you off at the same time, so you'll be conflicted. But it'll definitely make you think about, you know, your decisions sexually.
Exactly. I think that was a great spin. I think that's a great attention getter when you did this. I really do. I think it was an awesome way you did it.
Thank you, because that's what I'm going for.
Now, have you published anything else?
No, this is my first book, but I have been in a Zane anthology that actually was on the New York Times bestsellers list. And
oh, were you?
Chocolate flavor, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was two, three years ago, yep. So that was a big deal for me to be included in that.
I hadn't read some of her late stuff. I heard she ain't changed. She's something else.
Yes, she is. Yes, she's a mess. She is. And, you know, I don't really consider myself all that great of an erotica writer. Like, it's not my forte or it's not the topic of interest that I want to stick to. You know, so because I feel like, you know, you get pigeonholed when you're a black female that writes. Everybody already assumes it's going to be erotica, so I want to definitely step outside of that.
But this goes to show you we're very sexual beings. I mean, to me, I think.
Yeah, we are.
And that's why a lot of other colors, regardless of what they say on the outside, they desire us just as much as they desire their own people. Believe me.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know too, honey.
No, they like us a lot. More than
they trying to be like us. But what they don't understand is that we all the same anyway, but that's a whole other story there.
Why publish a book of erotica to get your point across? Could you have used another avenue that you thought, you know, that you think that would have helped you out to get your message across?
I could have probably made it more bland and boring, but that would have been like rant, rant, you know. But definitely, if you're going to talk about HIV prevention and STDs, you've got to talk about sex because that's how it happens.
Exactly.
You know, when it comes to HIV, it can be sex or IV drug use if you share needles, that type of thing. And I talk about that in the book too. So I had to do it. You had to do it, and that's why I had to make it so, you know, sexual, and I had to get you turned on to throw in the message at the same time.
It worked.
Good.
It worked. It definitely worked. Now, can you give us a HIV 101?
I sure can. All right, let me start at the beginning. Now, the four fluids that transmit HIV are blood, semen, breast milk, and vaginal fluid. So those are the only four that would infect you from it. Well, actually, the person, of course, would have to be infected with HIV. I have to say that because some people don't get it. So things like saliva, sweat, tears, urine, feces, that type of thing, just being around someone that has HIV is not going to put you at risk, okay? We're actually more of a danger to someone with HIV because if you're around someone with HIV that has a cold, well, no, if I have a cold and I'm around somebody with HIV, I can, you know, make them very sick. They can get pneumonia, have to be in the hospital, that type of thing, because their immune system is affected. That's what HIV does, is it affects your immune system. It makes it easier for you to get other STDs and things like cancer, tuberculosis, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not a gay disease. Don't get it twisted. It is not a gay disease. Now, in the beginning, that's who mostly was affected by the disease, you know, gay white men. But as we said at the beginning, HIV is an African-American and Latino disease. No signs and symptoms. You usually won't have any signs and symptoms. And if you do, it'll be things, you know, that are cold and flu-like symptoms. So you may not even notice it because it's just something as simple as, you know, having a cold that you can't get rid of. It could also be night sweats, diarrhea, losing more than 20 pounds in a month, that type of thing. But then at the same time, these are symptoms of other things as well. So if you've been tested for HIV and got a negative result and you have any of these symptoms, you definitely want to be checked out and see what's going on. Another one is in women, if you have reoccurring yeast infections, that's a sign as well. So it's just about making your health a priority. A lot of us don't really make our health a priority. You know, we're so busy working to pay the bills and take care of our kids that we put our health last. So we got to start putting our health first. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, another question to go along with that. How long does it take for HIV to, I guess you say, mutate in your system?
Are you talking about the window period?
Yes.
The window period refers to the time between you're infected and the time that it'll show up on the test. So let's say I had unprotected sex today with someone that had HIV and I was infected. It's going to take my body at least a month to produce what are called HIV antibodies, and that's essentially what the test is looking for, is HIV antibodies. And it's going to take your system at least 1 month to produce, but in very rare cases, it could take up to 3 to 6 months. So like I said, if I did something risky today, I would have to wait 30 to 31 days from now.
Okay.
To be tested. But even then, like let's say I get a negative result, I want to be tested again in 2 to 3 months just to be sure, because in rare cases it could take your body up to 6 months to produce those antibodies. But it's good to be tested every 3 to 6 months anyway if you're sexually active, especially if you have multiple partners and you have unprotected sex of any kind. And a note on that, the most dangerous type of unprotected sex to have is anal, then vaginal, then oral. And then when we get into the oral aspect of it, they say it's best to swallow immediately or spit out immediately. Don't hold it in your mouth and play with it and that type of thing, because your mouth, your gums, is a mucous membrane. You know, like the inside of your eye, the tip of the penis, inside of your nose, the vagina, those are pink meat, mucous membranes. And somebody probably like, well, swallowing it, I'll be okay. If you swallow it immediately, because it breaks down in your esophagus. So, you know, of course, these are ways to reduce your risk. It doesn't eliminate your risk. So it's just about doing things to reduce your risk. Even using a condom is only reducing your risk, because, as we know, they're not 100%, but they're your best, I guess, coat of armor when you're having sex, is to have a condom. That's your best bet.
Okay, you just taught me some stuff.
See, that's good. And that's why I love to do what I do, because people are like, oh, okay, now that I didn't know. And that's when I feel like what I'm doing is definitely worth it, because I'm telling somebody something they didn't know.
Yeah, that was some awesome information right there. I didn't know. I had no idea.
And the thing is that I've learned a lot, too, over the past few years. Like, there's stuff that I had no clue about that tripped me out. Like, the fact that somebody has a cold sore and they go, they give you oral sex unprotected, that could turn into genital herpes. And you can't get rid of genital herpes.
Right.
But see, a cold sore is no big deal. It's a form of herpes, but it's, you know, it's not, you know, something that is a big deal. It's not an STD.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and that's where we tell people to use, like, flavored condoms if you're performing oral sex on a man, and dental dams, which a lot of people haven't heard about, is what you would use to have unprotected oral sex on a woman. I mean, there's a way to have safe sex of any kind, okay?
Yeah.
So, if people would quit humping around so much, then we could.
You got people that just, I mean, they'll die humping around. That's just what
right.
they do. I mean, you can't change them. They're going to be that way, but they
yeah.
don't understand. I mean, that goes for males and females, not just males, because we always get the impression that males are the whores. Opposed
mm-hmm.
to them, of course. But women, we sleep around much.
Oh, yeah. And you know what I say is, you know what, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that I'm not going to totally change anybody's sexual behavior. I just want you to go in knowing what you can come out with that's not cool. And the thing
yeah.
is, sleep around all you want. Just be safe about it, because, you know, that's nothing new. Sleeping around, hoeing around, that ain't nothing new. If you want to get busy, somebody get busy, as long as they want to get busy with you. Just be safe. That's my thing.
Yeah, exactly. Be safe. Now, what are the misconceptions of HIV?
That you can get it from drinking after somebody, kissing somebody, hugging somebody. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, that people still think you can get it from saliva. There's so many misconceptions, like I said earlier, about it. It's not a gay disease. You know, that is a group that is very disproportionately affected, just like African Americans, but it's not just a gay disease. Oh, wow, what else? There's so many different things that people tend to go off on a tangent. HIV and AIDS, two different things. Basically, AIDS can only be diagnosed by a doctor, and it happens when your T-cell count, which is your white blood cells and what HIV attacks in your immune system, when that gets below a certain number, you can be diagnosed with AIDS. But that doesn't mean that you're dying or that you will die, that you're getting ready to die. Because, you know, you can take medication and get your T-cell count up to a higher number. And everyone with HIV isn't on medication. You know, there's different strains of HIV. And Magic Johnson, I'm blabbering now. Magic Johnson is HIV positive. He does not have AIDS. He does not have the cure. He is HIV positive, and he's taking his medication. You can live with HIV. It's treatable. It's just not curable.
That's what I was going to ask you next. You kind of answered that, the difference between HIV and AIDS, because I think people have the they don't understand.
Yeah.
Between what's AIDS and HIV.
Yeah, basically you could say AIDS is the final stages of HIV, you know. But like I said, you can be diagnosed with AIDS, and that happens when your T-cell gets at a certain count. But you can get your T-cell count back up. So, you know, it's not the end of the road. And HIV affects everybody differently. It depends on how healthy or unhealthy you were before you were infected. There's so many different strains of it, and it affects everybody differently. And, you know, I say it's treatable because it's like, you know, someone with diabetes, you know, that's treatable, not curable right now. And then people get into the whole, well, the medication is very expensive, and, yeah, some of it is, but your insurance can help pay for some of it just as it would if you had diabetes. Like my mother has diabetes, and she has a hard time, you know, paying for her medication. Her insurance doesn't pay for all her medication, so she struggles with that. So whenever you have some type of disease that is treatable, you're going to have to deal with the whole paying out for the meds. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that's the part of life, but there are agencies out there that help you with that. So, you know, everybody wants to try to say, well, Magic has the money. It really doesn't matter. It really does not matter. There are millions of people living with HIV, and you can't look at them and tell they have HIV. You can't look at somebody and tell that they have HIV. So it's just that Magic is a celebrity. He's the poster boy for HIV because he was the first, you know, celebrity to ever really come out and just be all about HIV. But if you Google him, you'll see that he's still living with the virus. He still does a lot of work in HIV. So this whole thing that Magic has the cure or he's not infected is bogus. People need to let it go. If anything, I would think that people living with HIV could see him as a role model because, you know, it's not a death sentence for everybody. And you can live with HIV. You can have sex. You know, when you have HIV, you just need to have safe sex. And even if you meet someone else with HIV, you still need to have safe sex because, especially if you have two different strains of the virus, you all could reinfect yourselves and get sicker. You know, so, yeah, it's just about education.
Okay. Now, also,
Magic,
you
want to
I think we talked about this earlier about who affected the greatest by HIV, and we said the African-American woman is, and you kind of named the reasons. Kind of repeat what were the reasons we are more prone right now, or we're the highest.
Well, you know, our men aren't only having sex with us. They're also having sex with men, and they're doing it unprotected. A lot of people don't like to, you know, go there and say that that's one of the reasons why HIV is spreading, but it is. It may not be the number one. It may not be the only one, but it is one reason. It also has to do with, you know, lack of health care, lack of education about the disease, poverty. And then, like I was talking about earlier, you know, we tend to put our health last on the list of priorities, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to work, take care of the babies and pay the bills and, you know, And you know, quite frankly, sometimes being black in America is hard, you know, but we don't, you know, we don't really put our health first, so we need to start doing that as well. And then there's just a stigma in our community about it, too. It's culturally just a big stigma, and we need to change that. You know, sex is a stigma, period, in this country. I don't know why we act. I mean, we're so sexual, though. That's what kills me. Everything in music, TV, is sexual. But when it comes to trying to educate people about sex, we don't want to talk about that. I don't get us. America is a little off. But,
yeah, we are. We are definitely,
you know,
confused. We're insecure. Yeah. We don't want to clean up our own, our laundry, but we want to make sure everybody else's laundry is clean.
Right. We think we are that with our ignorant self. If you really want to break it down, we're an ignorant-ass country, but, you know, whatever. This is the land of opportunity.
Oh, you said what I've been saying for years. We are so doggone ignorant. I'm telling you. And people laugh at us. Other countries laugh at us. They laugh.
Girl.
We still want to walk around with our chest poked out to be proud to be from here. I'm a veteran, so I can say that. But we do with our American flag in our hand, and it's on our clothes, and it's on our cars and our trucks.
Right. Yeah, we supposed to be patriotic. Yeah, okay. I don't know about all that.
We are so far behind when it comes to a lot of stuff. Not only just technology, on so many levels we're so behind. But boy, oh boy, we got a right to be proud to be Americans. You know,
I know, right? And if you say you're not, or it's not a big deal to you, that's blasphemy. You might as well just kill yourself. Right. You're un-American. Why do you live here? Well, I was born and raised here, number one, so this is home. You know, believe me, if I could leave, I would, you know.
But we got to love those people. We got to love them.
Girl.
Man, it's a mess. Now, I want to talk about STDs, because before we get to the AIDS, before we get to the HIV, let's talk about the STDs, because it starts there lots of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is that if you've ever had an STD, it'll be easier for you to get HIV.
Okay.
So that's something that people need to be aware of, too. A lot of people are uncomfortable when you test them and you get into their sexual history, but it's important to know your sexual history to help you with your sexual present and future. So don't be afraid to answer the questions. You know, during the test, we ask people if they've ever had an STD, and a lot of people are apprehensive to tell us, but you need to let us know, because that way we'll be able to give you, you know, all the information you need to protect yourself. So, yeah, having any STD in the past makes it easier for you to get HIV. And I'm speaking to myself, because as I reveal in the book, I've had an STD before. So it would be easier for me to get HIV as well, because I have had an STD. I haven't had one recently. So I'm just like y'all, you know. I haven't always been as wise in the ways of, you know, safe sex. But STDs, basically the ones that start with H, are the ones that are your HPV, herpes, HIV, hepatitis, those type of things aren't curable. They're treatable, but not curable. Syphilis, actually, right now is an issue in the community I live in the county I live in, that is. It's crazy to me. In the first two stages, you can get rid of syphilis, but if it hits that third stage, it could cause brain damage and death. So be aware of that. I think a lot of people know that Al Capone had syphilis. I guess he was the poster boy for syphilis, because every time I say syphilis, they like, Al Capone, Al Capone. So let's see. We got chlamydia is curable. We got trichomonas. I think I'm saying that right. That's curable as well. That's kind of like a bug of some sort almost. Mm-hmm. I'm not very, very educated in all STDs, but I definitely can throw out some helpful things about it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're all preventable. Y'all got to start turning the lights on, looking at people's private areas before you get into them. Yeah. You know, and even if you see one little bump, it could be a pimple, could be a hair bump, but you have to ask.
Yep.
You have to ask. And depending on how they answer that question, let you know whether or not you need to get up out the bed or wherever you're at. You know, so I just want people to be safe. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with turning on the lights. Hold up. Let me look. Let me inspect that first to make sure that's where I want it to go, if it's going where I want it to go. Hold up.
Yeah. And please smell, too. Use all of your senses. Touch, taste, smell, all of that. Because, you know, if something don't smell right, then more than likely it's not right.
That's right.
But, you know, it's some STDs don't, you know, always have signs and symptoms immediately. So, you know, even with herpes, which you can't get rid of, but you may not have an outbreak, but you can still pass it to someone else even when you're not having an outbreak. And even using a male condom is not going to protect you from herpes because your pubic area is still connecting. So I would say that, you know, a female condom would be better protection, you know, for something like that. And it allows the woman to be in total control because, you know, you don't have to worry about hearing stuff like, well, I don't like condoms, I can't feel nothing, and they too little, whatever, you know. I'm a Magnum man. I need Magnum. So female condom, you're taking care of business, okay?
You're in total control of that, nobody else.
Yes, right, absolutely.
Tell me about this myth. I think it's a myth. I don't know if it's true or not. But I remember them used to say is you take earwax and put it on the end of your finger, and if you touch your partner, the female partner, and she jumps, she's got something.
I've heard about that. I really have. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm thinking it's probably not, but I have heard that guys are trying that. But my thing is, if you're going to take the time to stick your finger in your ear and then stick it in her, put a condom on. If you're that concerned that you're going to do the earwax test, carry some condoms.
Yeah.
God. Boy, I tell you.
They coming with some stuff, boy.
They'd rather do the earwax test and wear a condom. We are so twisted.
We can't help it. That's why we got such a high rate, too.
Right, because we're dingleberries.
Now, why should we care about HIV? So what if somebody gets HIV? It's not me. Who cares if the boy down the block got it or the girl down the block got it? That's just something to talk about. You know?
Listen, it could be you. And if old girl or old boy got it down the street, maybe they going to hook up with your little sister or your auntie or your mama. You know what I'm saying? You never know. It can affect you, absolutely. You know, you need to care because so many of us are infected and dying from it. That's why you need to care. It's preventable.
Yeah.
Get it together. Come on. You know. But, yeah, but we hear that a lot. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, I don't even want to be around people that have it. So, you know, you could be around people that have it. You can't. You don't know. There's no A on your forehead, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
That is so true. I lost two friends from HIV. One was my high school buddy. We did everything together. We were in plays together. We did everything. And I went into the military. You kind of lost touch because I went into the military, and I would come home from time to time to see him. And it was after I found out, and he came out and told me that he was that way. And I don't know if I was in Germany or somewhere I was with, and my mom told me that he passed away, and that my heart was so broken. I was so broken because that was my buddy. And also my other friend was in Germany with me. He was one of my buddies in Germany. And I came home, and I moved back here, and I worked at the VA hospital. And to show you how small the communities are here, he lived in one city here, and one of the patients was from that city, and me and him was talking, and I asked about the last name, because you have to know everybody here by their last name. And he gave me his mom's phone number, and his mom told me that he had passed away with AIDS. And that just kind of broke my heart because, you know, you want to be able to talk to that person, you know, at least see them. I didn't know he had it back then. He must have had it for a while because when we were in Germany, I knew he was that way, but I didn't have any indication that he had caught the disease. So I know the feeling when you lose somebody. So it is very important, like you said, to know who has it and, you know, why it should be concerned, because it could be somebody in your family, somebody close to you. You know, you never know. Are you still there? What happened? Are you there? She went off. What happened? You there?
Yes, I am.
What you do?
Oh, my goodness.
Myself.
Girl, technology ain't no good.
I just so haven't looked at her. I was like, wait a minute, she's gone. She's not on there.
I know. I was over here panicking. I'm like, I got to hurry up and call back. I was in the middle of cutting me off.
Talking to myself. Oh my God, I feel so bad. No, I'm not. I don't feel so bad.
I can't wait to hear the playback.
look, you don't want to hear my story. You got to hear my story, but you'll be able to.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Now, why should I buy your book? Where can I find it? And if I had anybody that I know who would be interested in you doing maybe a seminar on HIV here in Louisiana, because I'm in Louisiana.
Cool.
Need to do.
Okay, well, now what was the first part of the question? I done got the last part. I'm like, why should they buy my book? Well, they should buy my book. Okay, first of all, you definitely need to be a fan of erotica. If you're not a fan of erotica, It's going to turn you off. But the thing is that if you can appreciate where I'm coming from about HIV, and if you're curious about that, then pick it up. You know, everybody needs to pick it up. Yeah, like I said, use it as a scare tactic for your kids. Something, you know. My boy Lamont messing with me. Go on now. He just brought a copy of the book in here and shoved it in my face like I don't know what it looked like. But you can go to pantiesupskirtdown.com to read the first chapter for free. You can also order the book from there. I would prefer everybody order it online from CreateSpace because that's where I get most of the money from. And that is an Amazon company, CreateSpace. The book is also available through CreateSpace. You can order through BarnesandNoble.com as well. If you're in Flint, Michigan, you can get the book at Pages Bookstore or Essence Bookstore. So, yeah, I'm trying to be everywhere I can be. And, oh, definitely, if you want to get me in your town and talk about HIV, you know, just email me. Go to PantiesUpSkirtDown.com and check out the book Dangerously section. And, yeah, I would love to come to Louisiana.
Okay, I can definitely do that. Okay. Is there anything else you would love to tell our listeners?
I just want everybody to keep it dangerous. Y'all know that's my motto.
Let me ask you something. Where'd you get that name from? Because when I saw you, actually, someone, like I told you, the way I found about you was I was listening to another Blog Talk radio show, and they mentioned you on there. And I said, when they were talking about
okay.
I start researching. I was like, okay, I got to talk to her because I mean, you are so out there. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
The problem with me is I'm like you, but I'm in a town where we know everybody knows everybody and half the time is to me. So they know I'll say what I want, but I hate to be reserved because I'm not a reserved person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The battle with what I want to say and what I don't want to or can't.
Well, because you kind of want to spare, you know, people's feelings, and then, too, you're trying to avoid conflict all the time. I know how that is because I have to be that way in certain situations as well, especially with my family.
Yeah.
Sometimes I keep my mouth shut around them because they don't get it. I'm an alternative thinker, and they're really not.
Yeah. So, and everybody knows my mom's because this is my mom's hometown. So, Etta's daughter. Oh, I know Etta's daughter. So everybody know who we are. So I have to be careful on some of the things that I want to say. Sometimes,
right.
Sometimes I don't care. If I got to say it, I say it.
Definitely understand it.
And they always say, yeah, she's just a little bit different. She's not like the rest
of them. Right. I get that a lot, too. And I appreciate it. I've embraced my weirdness and my, you know, individuality. So you call me that if you want to, but I feel like I'm a little bit more enlightened than most. So
yes, that's the problem. Some people are so sheltered and they don't, they don't care. So when you try to come out to be who you are, it's like, oh my God, I can't be around her. I can't do. Okay, that's your business. Let me move on. I see
right.
It's not gonna be good because I'm gonna say whatever I'm. Sometimes, Lita. Let your opinion be in your mind and don't let it come out. But sometimes I got to say it. I mean, if it sounds something crazy, then I'm going to say it. You know, that don't sound right. Why would you do that?
So right. Hey, you got to do you.
Yeah.
But the name comes from many different things. You know, I mean, you know, Lee, my real name is spelled like Lee, so people think my name is Lee, and it's not. You know, it comes from the fact that Dangerous is my favorite Michael Jackson CD. I like the movie Johnny Dangerously. Dangerously is a word, and, you know, I'm a writer. So there's a lot of different ways that the name came to be, but I just felt like it fit me and mm-hmm. my personality and what I do.
It does. It's definitely. Well, Miss Dangerous Lee, love the conversation.
Uh-huh.
The interview, and I do. Now, are you working on another book?
Not yet. I plan to start next year on book number 2. Absolutely. More books are coming.
So we don't get a peek to find out what it's going to be about?
Well, it will be like, you know, a thriller, kind of like sci-fi thriller type stuff. You know, that's kind of what I am more into. And it'll be another book of short stories.
Oh, something to look forward to, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I know you got to get to bed and you got to probably have
Girl, please, I would be up all night. I don't have to work in the morning. Cut it out.
You said you're going to be up all night, huh?
Yes, I'm a night owl, definitely. I'm always up late.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
Check me out at dangerously.biz as well. That's the main website. So hit me there. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. I'm all over the place. Google me.
All you got to do is Google you, you'll find you, huh?
Right.
Okay, I would like to thank you very much for your time, ma'am.
Well, thanks for having me.
It was lovely interviewing you in our discussion.
Well, thank you.
Everyone had an opportunity to learn from what you're saying. And if you hadn't had an opportunity to listen now, at least go back and listen to it, and you got some great information out there. And like I said, learned so much from you in the matter of the time that we've been on this interview. I've learned so much from you, and I didn't have an idea a lot of stuff that you said, and I'm glad that you did, you know, talk about it.
Absolutely.
Just keep up the good work, sweetie. Keep
Thank
it up.
Thank you so much.
Good job, okay?
I definitely will, forever.
Okay. Thank you and good night, sweetie.
All right, good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you guys, that was Dangerous Lee, the author of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. And you can get her books on Create Space. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can also Amazon. And she was naming, I should have wrote them down. I don't think I got from her local. If you're living in the Flint, Michigan area, the local bookstore, I think it was Essence is one of them. I didn't write down the other one. But if you're interested in reading this book, you can even go on her website and read an excerpt from it. She is great. I love what she's done, and I love the concept that she used to get the message out and how important it is for us to know and be knowledgeable of HIV and AIDS, and including STDs. And don't be ashamed to use some type of protection when you're having sex. Something we can't stop you from doing, but at least be safe with it. Okay, I want to give you guys a little bit of music. We got about 9-10 minutes left, so I'm going to give you something to listen to for a second or two.
I'm
Chocolate Lady 64, sounding off. Good night.